Hello, and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus, and I have a bottle of something from the Beer Mongers.
And I'm Aaron Flores. I also have a bottle of something. It's my water bottle. Broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
You're broadcasting from the straight and narrow.
I've got a kombucha from Beer Mongers. I just
for when it gets wild.
It just wasn't like readily available at.
What kind of kombucha is that?
I can't say it right.
Of course you can.
It's Lionheart.
Oh, come on.
Lionheart.
There we go. Nothing does you better than a Lionheart kombucha. We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains in transit, and simpler living. And today, freaks, bikes, and freak bikes.
Yeah, we're here with Brian Sisfail. Hello.
That's me.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Thanks for coming to the studio.
No problem.
I was at your studio not too long ago, and yours is plushly appointed also.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to hearing something come out of that.
You will.
Yeah. Many things have already.
A few things. Nothing really as much as what we're kind of working on now.
Sure, sure. And let's see. What else is new? Yeah, you, sir.
What'd I do?
What'd you do?
Oh.
Oh, you cut your hair off.
I cut off the mohawk.
Where once there was a mohawk, now there is none.
Yep.
Yeah. What's the seasonal decision with that? When do you make that call?
I just when I feel like it.
So it's not like a certain month or day, or like it's not because September's tomorrow.
No. There was a time in my life where you know, every summer on the solstice, I would shave my head, and then from the winter solstice until the first day of spring, I would leave my beard grow.
Yeah, and that's a pattern that I've seen happen several times since I've known you.
But
so yes,
it's not so strict.
Okay, there we go. Did I tell the story about my haircut on the podcast?
I'm not sure if I did. I don't remember you talking about your haircut
because I went to a barber. A really old barber. He's like 80 or something. And he's close to where I live right now, which is why I went there. He's also cheap. Largely, I think, gets paid in cash. But he had done this haircut for me before that I kind of liked. And so I went back to him and I said, oh, you know, about, you know, leave an inch on the top or something like that. And then I think I told him that I use like a number 3 on the side.
Oh.
And he took a number 3 all over all of my hair.
Oh.
And I saw it happening. And I was like, should I say anything? And then I was like, well, you know, it's only a 950 haircut.
Okay.
And actually, it might have been $9. Because I think if he did it all one length, buzz cuts were 50 cents cheaper than any other haircut he did. So,
yeah. What a deal.
I know.
It's just going to last longer.
That's the idea. Yeah, and it did. So I had this cut like right before I left for my summer tour back in June. And once I took the tour, I felt like my hair was just about the right length all summer. And then when I cut it, I was like, oh, hey, I've got my haircut back. So, yeah, not that I spent a lot of time thinking about my hair, but now that we brought it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I found out that after many, many experiments with beards, I realized that I cannot wear a beard longer than about guard number 2 on my razor.
Okay.
Yeah. Any longer and it just starts to like kind of twist out and curl out.
But you can't.
Accentuates the bare patches.
Yeah, but you can't not wear a beard either.
I could. I thought about it.
No. It wouldn't be you. Well, it wouldn't be you.
Maybe not. I mean, maybe not. You see, I've thought about getting an electric razor because I thought like if I had an electric razor, I could instantly look 10 years younger.
Sure.
And I'm not sure if I want to yet or not. You know, because I feel like we all get to that point in life, that stage in life where at some point we decide I'm tired of trying to look like I'm older than I am. Now I want to look younger than I am. And whenever that happens for me, I think my first bet is going to be like shaving my beard off.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We'll
okay.
see.
So next time, if I see you without a beard, I'll be like, oh,
he's over that threshold.
He's hitting the midlife crisis. He's going to get his Corvette now.
Precisely. No. So the other thing I realize is that like the longer I grow my hair, the more it looks like I'm graying. If I keep it short, like it's really hard to tell. Yeah. So anyways, these are tips and tricks for anybody who's trying to stay young. Thank you for tuning in.
This is Staying Young with the Sprocket Podcast.
We'll be talking about exfoliation soon. The other thing that I have to announce is that I am entering No Alcohol September.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Or maybe No September. I haven't thought of a good way to say it yet.
There's not a real catchy way to say that.
Sisvale, do you have any... Do you have any catchy phrasing?
No.
Okay.
I've heard no in November.
Oh, no. Yeah. Okay. There's that.
Yeah.
Right. So I think no September is probably like the catchiest way.
That's all right. Yeah.
Except I'm like off the booze entirely. I think I'm just going to be like, you know.
And why particularly, why September? Is there a reason?
Well, I would ask.
For September itself or?
I think it's because I go back to school then. And it just seemed like the right time to make kind of a significant change. Like, work starts in earnest, and so I go back and do different things at work than I would usually be doing.
Right.
And I've had all summer to get out and get drunk and be in the woods and burn fires and that sort of thing. So I don't know. I feel like maybe I need like a reset. Like,
sure.
Also, I had a particularly shitty hangover yesterday. So there's that. But, you know, it's like.
Motivation.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, and part of it was, this is the weird paradox, this is the snake eating its tail, because I thought that, I would like to go out and get super wasted on Saturday, and Delaney was having a housewarming party, and so I was over there, and he and his crew know how to drink, and so we were all hanging out and drinking, and so I was just like up until all hours of night, and it was a good time, but it was also one of those things, like at the end of the night, I was like, I am definitely too faded to be talking to people anymore, and that was when I took my leave on the couch at like 4:30 in the morning or something.
Okay.
So I think at that point, I woke up, I felt kind of terrible, I got a Gatorade on the way home, and I still felt terrible all day. I kind of slept in the afternoon, and I was like, well, this is why you don't drink to excess too often, because like the next day you can't drink anything because it doesn't feel good. And I would like to preserve like the good vibes that go with beer for me. So anyways, that's kind of what I'm planning on.
Yeah.
But in pursuant to all of this stuff, I have asked people to give me their favorite non-alcoholic beverage orders at a bar.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
My favorite is to ask for a Roy Rogers.
That's a good idea. It's a little sweet,
Coke and grenadine. Yeah, it's real sugary.
Is it a different name if it's a Diet Roy Rogers?
I think you just named it.
Could I have a Diet Roy Rogers? It makes me sound super not badass.
Well, here's the thing.
She gave me a Diet Shirley Temple.
A lot of people, because, I don't know, because this is such a beer town, there's been a lot of bars I've been at that they're just stymied by that request.
Oh,
and
sure.
A couple times I've gotten a Rob Roy.
Oh, which is not a Roy Rogers.
Which is not a Roy Rogers. Yeah.
What goes into a Rob Roy?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's some like alcohol whiskey? And something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it a whiskey drink?
And there's a cherry in there, too.
Is it a vodka drink?
No, it's dark.
Is it a cider drink?
Oh,
is it a locker drink? Do you sing the songs that remind you of the best times? So anyway, that's my plan. So I feel like I'm going to go drink a bunch of tonic.
Mm-hmm.
Probably tonic water is going to be a big part of what I do. I'm also looking forward to it, though, because this is going to be, I'm terrible at limiting my intake when it comes to calories. You know, like it's not like I can't stop drinking because I can. And that's what this is all about, kind of like proving I still can. But there's also the idea that there's a lot of calories that are associated with beers, and love those calories. But I'm also like feeling just like the tiniest bit, like I'm a little bit more than I want to be.
Sure.
And so I'm thinking, well, if I cut it out, I thought about like cutting it out until I get to my desired weight, but I think I'll just do September and see what happens. So
I've been cutting out alcohol until I get my desired weight.
All right. See, it's
30 some years later.
Been going at this for a while. So let me put the call out here. Let me do this. If anybody has their favorite non-alcoholic beverage and they have not yet responded to me on the social medias or the emails or whatever, let me know. Tell me, what is it? What should I drink that will not get me drunk and will not get me fat? That's what I want to know. So that wasn't a very angry call to action.
That was the nicest call to action I think we've ever done on the show.
So, Brian, I don't know if you've heard many of our shows, but usually when we have a call to action, there's more profanity and more negativity directed towards a positive end.
Okay.
So that's, yeah. So I'm sorry. I apologize for the nice one.
So sorry, we're so nice today.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that's just about it. I don't think there's anything else really to talk about, other than the rain is back. I tried to get my bolt drilled out of my frame that I broke a fender bolt off trying to get it out. And yeah. Nathan Jones tried for like, you know, an hour with like a Dremel or whatever.
Yeah, and he still couldn't get it out.
No. Oh. So, I mean, we may still try later on, but I'm thinking about just going the like zip tie route for now.
Sure. I mean, yeah, any port in a storm, really.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing that's worked for me is using just a smaller drill bit. And like drilling into the screw itself that's mm-hmm. stuck in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, like once you've cored it out, then you can twist out the rest or break up the rest.
Yeah. That seems like a good idea. I mean, we'll see what happens.
But yeah, I figure if Nathan Jones can't do it, then it's stuck.
Well, he also said he was about to buy a bigger drill.
Oh.
So when he gets that, then we'll try again.
All right.
Yeah. There's one more. Oh, sound systems. We should talk because Sisvale, you're a purveyor of sound systems. When I was over at your establishment, we saw it was just the very first bike sound system that Portland ever had.
No, I will totally give credit to that too. Nasty.
Okay.
Nasty. He used to come around early Monday fun day when that all started.
Gotcha.
Had this big, huge thing. It was totally ridiculous. This big box. And I always remember it being like really loud at the time because nobody else had anything.
Right.
So it was like, but anyways, years later, he ended up donating it to me and some friends. And we kind of like took it open to see what was inside of it. And it was just like 2 50-watt tape decks, like car stereo decks. And we're
really?
Like, yeah, that's all it was.
Wait, were they like daisy chains? So like one was amplifying the other or?
No, he just had two of them in there. I think there was like one or there was one. I know it was just like a tape deck in there. It was nothing really big. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we're like, soon after that, we immediately jumped these like, you know, 100 watt car stereo. Then it was like 200. And then now we're like last loud and lit.
Like, gotcha.
We were like 3,000 watts or something.
Lots of watts.
Lots of watts.
More than most people's ears
can't
handle.
Can't count on my hands anymore.
Yeah.
It hurts now. It's like, God, can we turn this down?
And you never thought you'd be saying that, and yet you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next ride, not so loud.
Right. More lit, less loud.
Well, we definitely had some fun times where, you know, the police show up and we're like, okay, we try to have like people go and try to do messages, but we can't. We have a big loud PA that, you know, we're trying to do that's loud as hell. But then if there's like, you know, a couple others that are like really loud too, like near it, it just kind of negates it. So we really have to try. Hey, we need to have these points where we're not so loud so we can like tell people what's going on.
It's something like a break brought to you by Parquet Margarine or something. Just like,
commercial break.
No, we're just like, yeah. Well, last time was basically, hey, we basically, you know, said, hey, we can either, the police showed up and told us, hey, you know, want to disperse us. And we're like, okay, we're going to go downtown. And then they were like, what? How about no big fireworks? And we were like, yeah, no big fireworks. Cool.
I
we
like
can
that
totally
story.
Do that.
That's really, it's, yeah. I love how that it's basically like, where do you want this noise? Because this noise probably isn't going to stop.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you were not downtown at the time.
No.
You were in a far less affected area. Like your noise wasn't really bothering anybody.
Nobody,
there.
No, they just got calls because of the loud explosions of the fireworks, I think.
Okay. So when you run out of voltage, you go to firepower.
Well, there was some other people that just showed up and they just wanted to add you know, their exuberance into the
whole
theme, you know.
Right. So you had not planned for fireworks to exist at this thing, and yet they did.
That wouldn't be like something that all things go sort of thing.
Right. Right.
Loud and lit is.
Right. That's a big event.
That's what that's turned into is
so,
a total.
Loud and lit, we should explain for people who haven't been to it before. It's is it a yearly like Pedalpalooza event? Is that the idea?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So how many loud and lits is this year?
I haven't been counting, but it's like probably 8.
Okay. So like 2009.
Yeah, maybe 8. Maybe something like that.
Okay.
It's probably, I don't know. We should actually
tally them up.
We'll figure that out.
Put some notches on the speakers.
Hit up Dutch. Dutch is the one that kind of like
Yeah.
originated that.
Nice.
Originally, there was just one sound system at the first Loud and Lit.
Right, right. And it wasn't, you're saying not that loud.
It was like 150 watts.
So loud for the time, loud for
loud
your experience.
For the time. But we were like, we had, you know, jousting and fire jousting and all this other crazy stuff and fireworks. And
right.
So it was still loud and plenty lit.
So we should start at the beginning, maybe, just about like you being in Portland. When did you arrive here, or have you always lived in Portland?
I am not originally from Portland.
Okay.
I moved here. I didn't like fully move. I came here and I stayed for a couple months in like 99, 2000. Then I went to the Bay Area for like 8 months and then I came back up. So I was up here at like end of 2001, 2002 sort of thing.
Okay. So did the Bay Area not stick or take or
was
Portland
just
so
my thing.
Yeah,
it's not my thing.
Like Portland was so great in comparison that you're like just gotta come back here.
Yeah. Totally.
Nice.
Yeah, I grew up in a very a big city also.
Okay.
So I necessarily living in San Francisco wasn't like my ideal place. I was like, oh man, I want to get out. So I like here because I can go just a few minutes and you're out of town. Basically you're in the woods and there's all these parks.
Right. Yeah. Which part of the country are you from originally?
South Florida.
Okay.
Broward County.
That's different. Different.
The place where cops started.
Okay. No. As in what you're going to do when they come for you?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That whole thing. Yeah. The first couple seasons all Broward and Dade County.
Fascinating.
So yeah. were you in a trailer park?
No. No. No.
But
near
city.
Them. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, no, after Hurricane Andrew, though, I lived down there. I moved out in like 93. That pretty much blew all that trailer parks and then just further
right.
this like really crazy development, like gentrification that happened all through there.
Because it was all blank slate by that time.
Yeah, it looked
or
like a bomb.
Because of
it looked
that.
Like
yeah.
a bomb went
yeah.
off, basically just like.
Yeah, well, there's no demolition to be done, right? It's just like new construction at that point. So,
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever get that sense with Portland now? I mean, we haven't had any natural disasters, but like we've got a lot of knocking on the wooden chair.
Yeah,
I mean, it seems like the without the benefit of natural disaster, it's kind of a similar thing happening here, where there's like a lot of new money and a lot of new architecture and things changing.
Well, as far as connecting to the bike scene, there's a lot of places I ride around now, especially on Williams and Division, where I'm like, wow, I let it ride from there, and that place is not there anymore.
Right, right, yeah. And even things that, like, I never went to the House of Sound, but, like, yeah. that's the music store that used to be up there on North Williams. Mm-hmm. I want to say it's either Mason or Shaver. It was one of the intersections, but used to be there.
Yeah.
Super iconic. Even a big, like, cultural touchstone, as I understand, but not there anymore, so... Yeah. Yeah, sad to see things go away. But
yeah, I mean, things change. There's a lot of people want to move here for various reasons, you know. We have the urban growth boundaries, so I understand that. I'd say my opinion of it, if you ask me what it comes down to, is basically retaining Portland's culture and our, like, values sort of thing. And that's, like, stuff like, you know, yeah, I know all this, like, crazy development's gone on Division, but, like, why haven't, like, diverters gone in on Clinton?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the city should just be doing that because I feel like it's pushing this, like, a lot of people coming here and they don't know
what they don't know how to ride.
They don't know how to
drive
with
bikes.
With bikes and stuff like that.
Sure.
And it creates this whole thing and it's like... So I'm kind of concerned about that and there's a lot of people getting shifted and moved out to the outer skirts of... So now it's like... You know, Oregon cities or, you know, whatever, out past
Milwaukee
or whatever.
And then they're pissed about the Portland creep that's
the
happening.
Portland creep, yeah, yeah. I've heard that plenty from my friends outside of Portland. You know, it's
right.
Like, it's like people are like really kind of like it's kind of like you don't really realize it until you go out there and you'll see like a billboard and you're like, what? And you're like, oh, this is a thing?
It was like 2 years ago I was heading out to, I think it was Damascus. And they had just had a vote about whether or not to – I think they are part of – like they are incorporated in some form or another, but they were like voting to disincorporate themselves from Portland.
Well, disincorporate their own city.
Or yeah.
Because there
was
like – it was a lot of snitching back and forth politics or well, what's it? Not snitching. Just like people fighting about dumb things.
Yeah, and – So there was, like, all these signs of, like, you know, we are Damascus, not Portland. Like, disincorporate Damascus. And, like, all of these signs that, like, as someone from Portland, as someone who considers Portland my home, like, I'm going there, like, I'm spending money. I'm going specifically to this farm to spend money. And like, I kind of don't want to be there now. You know, it's not exactly a warm welcome.
They don't take kindly to your kind.
No, no. They took my dollars, though.
I'd like to just say that my friend Dan Kaufman from Creek, Chain, his new band is called Portland Creek.
Oh, is it? I was hoping something like that would happen. That's a good idea.
That's a really good idea.
Nice. Good for him. We got to get him in here again sometime soon. Portland Creep. Yeah.
But yeah, seeing that. So anyways, go around. So it's like, we definitely have, a lot of concern about bike theft and stuff like that. But
right.
I'm sort of like, at the same time, I feel like, you know, as I realize there's a lot of people living on the street by just, you know, not their choice. And that we shouldn't, like, necessarily be going around and trying to, like, tear up every tent site and be all like, where's this bike? And, you know, and,
yeah.
Like, it's whatever. It's because it's, like, I feel like there's a lot of things at work going on that I feel need to be addressed, that I'm kind of frustrated right now with, mm-hmm. like, politics in Portland.
Right. But you mentioned, like, values and not wanting the city's values to change. What are some of those things that, like, what are those touchstones
just, like,
for you?
Just, like, pick up your trash. Like, don't litter. Like, and like, it's like, and I hate, I like,
it
really
sounds like such a simple thing.
It
like, it
like
should be a total no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
Like, take a shower, put on clean drawers,
be nice. Like, yeah. don't like try to like be in a, don't, you don't have to be in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people like being in a hurry to park. That's my biggest thing. In
sure.
Visionary. It's like people are in a hurry to do that. And I'm just all like, dude, take the bus. Like, why are you driving here?
And you don't
anyways?
Have to park.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's hard to get bus. The bus from Damascus does not exist.
Does not exist.
What they want is, we need to build a wall around Damascus. We need to keep those people in Damascus. They want us to come out there and buy things from their farms. And then they're all angry about us being Portland creep and, like, being, you know, attracted to their place. And then they come in here and they want to buy salt and straw ice cream. You know, well, fuck that. That's what I have to say about that.
By the way, trade secret here.
Yeah.
We're going to have to edit this part out.
That was better, right?
But
yeah.
Wait, do we have to edit it out?
This second part.
Find a way where we can share this.
Well,
make
I want to share this. If you're
not
from Portland, just, you know, hit mute for the next minute.
Okay.
Because I found out.
Wait.
He actually just muted.
I'm not from Portland. I moved here from somewhere else. Is that what you meant?
No.
Okay.
But I found out that you can subvert the line at Salt and Straw. You can just like go right by the line, walk right in, and buy a pint of whatever they have there.
Oh, yeah?
Like, they've got these, like, uh-huh. you know, pre-spooned out pints that you can just buy in, like, at the cash register.
Wait, do you know this from experience?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay. But if you do buy from Salt and Straw.
This is making it worth me going to Salt and Straw despite everything I've said about them.
Yeah, so Salt and Straw, for anybody who doesn't know, is a local chain of ice cream makers and purveyors that is wildly popular for people who love standing in lines.
There you go.
There are other ice cream places, people.
Yes.
Yeah, that are better.
I know.
Yeah.
That are ice cream. God damn it all.
But some
but anyways,
people, yeah, some people
anyways,
like to stand in
so,
lines.
So I want to go
see
there.
See also brunch.
I want to get one of their
donuts.
Like.
See also donuts, yeah.
I want to get their like pre-made pint and just like sit in the line or sit somewhere like on the curb.
Kind of sticking it to all
the
people.
Like,
yeah.
Eating the ice cream.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know, like, if anyone asks, just be like, what, don't you know?
Right. Okay, so second rabbit trail. There's this bar over on Hawthorne called Likewise. Have you heard about this?
I've not heard of this.
I was talking to PJ the other day, and he was telling me about this place. It only has 4 food menu items, I think, because per OLCC, you have to offer 4 food items in order to be able to sell whiskey
alcohol,
or liquor or whatever.
Okay.
Whiskey, just whiskey. So the cool thing about this establishment is that they have bleachers that are set up in the front of the bar. So you can sit there and watch traffic go by on Hawthorne, and you can kind of like make fun of whoever walks by or whatever. And then the inside is the inside is like this performance, like art sort of space where they've just kind of like they've put together an environment that lends itself to people like just acting weird for the sake of creativity. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, but the four menu items, there's like nuts and popcorn, frozen pizza, which as I understand, it's called frozen pizza on the menu.
So they serve it to you frozen?
No, I think they warm it up for you.
Oh, well, that's
the last
nice.
One is adventure. And if you order adventure,
oh no!
Somehow this qualifies as a food item. They shut down the bar.
What?
Adventure costs $700. Oh. They shut down the bar, and they drive you and a friend to the coast, and they feed you a seafood dinner. So PJ and I talked about we'd like to get a crowdfunding campaign going because neither of us has like you know. Our share of that $700 that
right,
we pitched
right.
toward it. But if we could raise at least that much money from people who would like to see us order Adventure
right.
at the Likewise Bar, then, you know. Yeah. So crowdfunding, maybe. Anyways, that was two tangents. We were talking about values and living in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And you seeing
and
things
moving
change.
To Portland.
Brian Sisvale, yeah.
Yes.
So what were some of the things? Are there anything that you saw happen early on? Because you saw a lot of bike fun start up. Is there anything that happened back then that could not happen now?
And is there anything happening now that wouldn't be able to have happened back then?
I think back then it was like there was not much else going on.
Okay.
As far as like it was like the beginnings of like, you know, like there was definitely stuff before that time, but I think like right around like 2002 to 2004, it just sort of like blew up.
Yeah.
And
because that was like the beginning of Pedalpalooza, which used to be, was it?
It was Mini Bike Summer.
Mini Bike Summer.
Well, first it was Bike Summer.
Yeah.
And then Bike Summer was like a touring thing that went around from city to city. And they came to Portland. And then the next year, like Zubomb started like soon after that.
Yeah, and you were involved with Zubomb early on also?
Yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't like I would say like I was the first person out there. It was definitely Zach Archibald and like a whole bunch of us. But my friend Amanda, if I can remember her right, I met her when I first and she's like, "Oh, you should meet my friends. They're like doing this thing." And I was like, "Sounded great." I was like, "Sweet, let's go." And so I went down to Rocco's and watched The Simpsons and we went up and
was that part of it? You watched The Simpsons?
It was watching The Simpsons at
nice.
Rocco's. We'd meet up at
on a Sunday night.
At 8, we'd meet up at 8:30, watch The Simpsons at Rocco's, and then...
Then a bunch of tiny bikes in a pile, all chained together.
Yep, and it was used to be outside of what is now Sizzle Pie.
Sizzle Pie, which
oh,
is
right.
an inferior version of Rocco's. Rocco's was a cool pizza shop. Their pizza may not have been better, but Rocco's was a cool shop.
It was a cool place.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, our bikes were all across the street for, like, the longest time. I remember when exactly it moved. I know there was a bunch of stuff, you know, the Beaverton police at one point. Some officers from there came to Portland. And
came to Portland?
Oh, yeah. An officer from Beaverton, from what I understand, came to downtown Portland.
Not his jurisdiction.
Not his jurisdiction. Cut the lock on the Zubomb pile and proceeded to throw them all in the back of his
what the fuck
his car.
Wow.
And then somebody caught it on tape, apparently tried like said, "What are you doing?" And apparently he
it's okay, I'm
around,
a cop.
No, he turned around and threatened to pepper spray somebody.
Really?
Yeah. And so she was all like,
was he on the job?
No,
like, was he working during those hours? No.
He was just...
But, you know, they're always on the job.
Right, right.
I don't know.
Exactly.
He's just doing... So it became
serve
like
and protect.
A... So we did, like, there was a photo shoot with, like, Solid Gold and a bunch of us, you know, where he dressed up in a cop uniform. And we had this little protest and Virgil around, like, "Where you took our bikes, man? You're a big bummer." And we...
I like how now looking back on this, you're almost making fun of the whole thing still.
Oh, yeah. It's totally it was all fun back then. It was all fun. Like their being aggressive was just like almost like silly
almost laughable.
To us. It was laughable to us because it was like pretty radical, rowdy bunch. You know, we all just had a lot of fun.
Yeah, like the best response to adversity being absurdity.
Yeah,
like
much.
We're just gonna make this weirder.
Oh yeah, it's gonna get weirder really fast.
Yeah,
yeah.
The Zubomb, for anybody who doesn't know, Zubomb is what still happens.
Still happens every Sunday.
Weekly ride Sunday. biggest reason I don't go is because I work. I get up at like 5:30 on Monday morning, and so I've been too old to do that for like 7 years.
First
now.
Run's like 10 earliest. It's more likely like 10:30.
Right.
Now.
Right.
Is watching The Simpsons still part of the?
No, not really.
They probably have a different time slot now, right?
I don't know. Yeah. I haven't watched it in so long.
Right.
I kind of feel bad, actually.
Yeah,
I feel
we used to have like when Zach had a place up on Burnside, right past the 405 up there in that building. Talking about gentrification, I mean, they had that whole – there was that house. It was like a old apartment complex they lived in, and they had this one big loft space on the one side.
Wow.
And it just had like a shared bathroom in the hallway.
Uh-huh.
And we're talking like a really old motel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But like the bathtub was always looked like nobody ever got in it, or like it didn't work right. And like the bathroom was totally jank.
People who live here don't need baths.
And the room was just like flyers and like beer cans and like just like craziness.
Yeah.
And so that's where we kind of like we used to always like pregame before going down to Rocco's.
Gotcha.
Like
which was also pre-gaming, right?
Yeah. And then...
And there's more gaming to be had after that.
Yeah, we did a lot. And we did lots of riding. We did lots of making silly bikes. And that's where I kind of got into making, like custom bikes. And just making bikes for fun. And just, like, riding crazy bikes.
Talk about crazy bikes for a minute. Because I think anybody who has not seen them might not even believe the amount of... The amount of creativity that exists in you and your circle of people. There's like some really incredible rigs.
Yeah. I'll talk about one of my favorites, which was an early on in Zubom, and it's totally like jank. But they would take – they called it an assacre, and you'd basically take like a scooter, like the wheeled scooter, like the BMX little
– Oh, yeah.
Like a little 8-10
wheel.
Yeah,
they were like back in the late 80s.
Yeah. So they'd put them and they put the bars down so you'd actually sit down on it. And they'd go down Zubom, which is, if anybody doesn't know, is like this really fast urban course through this basically the upper part of the West Hills.
Really steep hill.
Really
Fairview
steep.
Boulevard
and
down through like where the zoo is.
The whole reason why this happens, if anybody doesn't know, is like you get on the MAX train and go up to Washington Park and get out. So it's like a free roller coaster, basically.
Yeah.
For like I don't want to say free because, you know, buy your ticket, you know,
of course.
$2. And, you know,
everybody,
$2.50,
everyone should buy their
is.
Ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you'd sit down on this thing and they put a bar across the front part of the wheel so your legs would just hang up.
Yeah.
And they would just go down the hill. And I'd be like, oh my God, you guys are crazy. And then that was one of the first things I saw with like, just like, just because, like, totally made no sense. But yeah, other than that, you know, taking three bikes and putting them on, welding them on top of each other.
Right, like a triple tall.
Triple tall.
Yeah. A lot of good choppers, too, I've
choppers,
seen.
Choppers, yeah.
Like really long, extended frames.
Yes.
Like semi-recumbent, or?
Some of them can be, you know, depending how you make it, you know, like stretched, and you can do all sorts of stuff with, like, welding.
Yeah.
Weld together. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. And that's do you weld yourself?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I envy you.
And did you learn like as you started building bikes?
Oh, totally.
Like,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. I still ride my first tall bike I built like in like 2004 or 5. No, was it? Sorry. That was probably 2006 or 7, probably somewhere. I don't know.
Wow.
Somewhere in that period. But I remember I just look at it now and I'm like, oh my God, I like totally gobbed the hell out of this thing. It's like, it's like so much metal in it now.
Yeah.
You know? And now I feel a lot better about like my welding abilities.
Like you feel like it's cleaner. It's
a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sturdier by chance.
Yeah. I can totally like, I can give people pointers, you know, and I can like say, oh, you know, don't really want fireworks so much and all stuff, you know.
Sparks are nice and all. But.
Yeah.
All
right.
Let's try to not have it look like a cavernous thing.
Caverns are not the – it's not what you're looking for.
No.
Did you ever have – when you were building custom rigs, did you ever have a frame or like some sort of construction that like failed, like a weld that wasn't strong enough or something like that? Or or have you been lucky?
The thing that I tend to break the most on bikes are actually the dropouts.
Okay.
Like that metal piece there, I just break that. I've broke like four dropouts, I think.
Okay. Yeah. That's a fair amount.
That's probably my worst thing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no.
Okay. Yeah. So are you welding dropouts? Is that the idea?
No,
or
no just, it's that's just the place I just – so I've re – so I actually re-weld my dropouts.
Okay.
So I actually add a little bit of metal to them so they don't do that anymore.
Gotcha. Yeah. So is it just really sturdy axles then? Like your wheels are incredibly robust and the frames are not as much?
I think it's because I weigh like 220.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
And I ride pretty hard most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the nice thing though, is that if you know how to weld, you can put something back together. Like Drew, the welder, fixed my bike. And the entire reason I had a steel frame is because like someday this is going to break and someday right. I will need it to be welded. So. Why not get something that's easy to weld? Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can totally MacGyver it if you have to.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm trying to think of like what you would ask the question earlier. What's
going on now in the realm of bike fun that like either wouldn't happen because, I don't know, because the culture, the participation level wasn't there or wouldn't happen. Because maybe the I guess this speaks again to culture, like the people or the Portland bike scene now, you know, is so much different.
I think one conversation, it might not be now because it just happened, but I was like talking to some people, and it's like how like the shift from during Pedalpalooza. Just the number of events and how it's just kind of gotten longer. Like we were talking about how it kind of started at sort of bike summer, and then Zubom did mini bike summer.
These like week long events?
And then the mini bike summer was like a week long thing. And it was like Zubom weekend, basically.
Yeah.
And then the next year there were shift and people on shift were like, understandably, they were like, and at that time, bike summer was still going on in other cities. They're like, hey, this is confusing people in the bike scene and saying mini bike summer. So we want to rename it something. And then we went to the meeting and they were like, oh, we already came up with a name. It's Pedalpalooza. And we're all like, Palooza, really?
Sucks.
It was cool then.
I was like, oh, man, really? But then we kind of went along with it, you know. But in that first year, in the first couple of years, the bike fair was like huge.
Yeah.
The bike fair
back then called the Multnomah County Bike Fair.
Multnomah County. It still is. This last year it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They got named the bike fair and then renamed the Multnomah County Bike for this last year. But what I was just commenting to my friends is like how the World Naked Bike Ride and like how that all started was kind of out of Zubom crazy parties.
Oh, yeah.
And
somebody said, hey, let's ride naked.
And also, like, some of the wilder people from Shift. And the thing was, it wasn't that many people.
Sure.
It was pretty small. And the first couple of years of the World Naked Bike Ride were nowhere near where it's at now. Like, mm-hmm. nowhere near. And at the same time, the money and effort going into the bike fair, the Multnomah County Bike Fair, sort of, like, it kind of did this total shift where, like, all the money and volunteer effort was going towards the World Naked Bike Ride, and then bike fair has just kind of fallen into where we came and it's like didn't even get a permit for a park last year. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. And it happened at your shop, right?
Yeah, we did it outside of Paz like kind of an emergency sort of like CPR thing on it. Cause we're like, so the city denied the permit and they want like, you know, $2,000 or whatever for all
Holy
these permits.
Shit.
And so we're thinking, oh, we'll just, our neighbors are all cool at Paz, next to Paz, our shop. And so we're like, let's just get a street permit. So
right.
That's pretty much what we did. We just got a street permit with insurance. It was like $500, I think.
And it's far easier than a park permit.
Yeah, it was way easier.
Okay.
Yeah, and we got like our friends from another construction business like donated porta potties.
Oh, nice.
So it all worked out. Really
perfect.
Good. And we just kind of, we raised a bunch of money. We raised like $400, I think, through GoFundMe.
Okay, there you go. So it's like not too expensive at all.
Yeah, and we got some donations from people from Shift selling pendants, and we just put that towards food and just fed everybody for free, so we don't have to worry about vendors or anything.
That's super cool. That's great. Yeah, and don't have to worry about licensing or anything like that.
I like that idea. We just do it all.
Let's all just eat.
Yeah.
What did people eat?
We had you know, Grill by Bike and like Belligerane and like, you know, a bunch of people from Pez and just all mixing it up, just spending time shifts basically barbecuing.
Yeah.
So they had like everything you could think of, like, you know, they had a, I know they had a vegan grill, but they had like, I mean, they grilled everything.
Also nice. Questionable meats.
Very questionable meats, probably.
Meats out of the back of the truck.
Right. So do you want to describe Paz for people? Just what is it? What does it do?
Paz is a Portland Autonomous Zone, we're basically kind of what we like to say, we're like a moose lodge for bike punks.
Which is great.
Yeah. And we're not a community space, we're basically a private club.
Mm-hmm.
Basically what a moose lodge is like, run by members for members, and we basically just got welders to sewing machines in there.
There's a ton of different kinds of projects, because I remember there's a place to work on electronics, there's a place to weld, there's a place to,
We got a little 3D printer, you know, we got a little music.
You got a 3D
studio.
Printer?
Yeah, we got a 3D music studio.
Nice. That's right. You showed me the music studio, and you've done a bunch of recordings there.
Yeah, mostly just like friends, like music projects.
Yeah.
But
do you guys run sort of like a label or anything, or like a collective of some kind that releases music, or is it just?
We're working on that right now. I'll say we're just trying to dial it in right now. It's still kind of like we're learning how to use what we have to make it sound better.
Yeah.
And we're figuring out. So we've been figuring out things like we can figure out talkback. Because you saw we have like that little control room.
Oh, sure. Like if the engineer is not in the room, can you still talk to musicians?
Yeah, so you don't have to walk around the space and be like, hey, can you stop playing guitar?
Because it's a long walk, yeah. Yeah. So there's just a ton of really cool projects happening there. So
yeah.
Is Paz, you say it's like a private club. Is it possible for people to get in on this? Like if people were interested?
Oh, yeah, they can totally reach out to us. We have an open Wednesday night craft night. It's relatively open, you know, no jerks. You know, if you show up and you're an idiot, we'll be like, hey, you just need to leave.
Right.
And so
distinction between jerk and idiot?
That's a fine line. That is a fine line.
I think an idiot can be taught.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
A jerk cannot.
A jerk refuses to learn.
And it's just loud.
You know?
And it's
totally.
Like, you're just like, can you please stop?
Yeah. So what about the Dropout Bike Club? How would you describe that to people?
We've been around in Portland for like 10 years, you know. There's been, you know, people in and out of the club. People have moved away, but we still exist. And we continue to do like a third Friday ride from Colonel Sumner's. It's basically bike fun. We're there rain or shine.
Nice. It's Fridays on a 10 p.m. sort of thing?
Yeah, we meet up at like 9:30, and then ride out at 10.
There we go.
A few minutes after, usually.
Right.
And we're usually pretty much our thing is like ride outdoors, leave no trace, have a good time sort of thing.
Yeah.
Freak bikes encourage.
Very
all
cool.
Bikes welcome.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Should they be nervous? You're a gang. Are you dangerous?
We're a club. You know, we classify.
There are jean jackets.
I think people in the club, you know, are very much currently like of the mindset of like we're basically just like kind of like trying to make sure everybody's having a good time, and we're not trying to. If there are basically anybody that's like causing a problem, we'll go talk to them and be like, hey, can you like correct your behavior?
Yeah.
It's not really cool.
Are you a jerk or are you an idiot?
Yeah, exactly.
We'd like to teach you.
Exactly. And yeah, people clean, you know, throwing cans on the ground, stuff. Like even I will still like, hey, will you go pick that up, please? Because like, yeah.
Right. And some people be like, okay,
fine.
how do you manage like something like, because there's the Dropout Prom, which is freaking huge. I was there this year. How do you manage like the whole leave no trace with such a huge gathering like that?
A bunch of great people.
Yeah.
It takes a village.
It takes a village.
To
it's
teach
not
an
one
idiot.
Person. It's not one person. Zubom is not one person. You know, Dropout's not one person.
Okay.
Paz isn't one person. I'm big into collectivism, non-hierarchical. Like Dropout as a club is like non-hierarchy. We don't have a president. You know, we're one of few in the bike club scene that don't have a president.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'll say there is Bike Club Vest in Portland who all their members are presidents.
Well, that's how you get another way around that problem.
It's a collectivism of a kind,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
I should get myself one of those.
about that, it's basically just we know to bring trash bags with us. We kind of hang them up in spots. And you kind of just do, you know, as the night progresses, there's usually people like, oh, they have a great time. They're like, how can I help? And we're like, hey, just go pick up a few cans around and throw them back over here in this pile. And then we'll just like, then we just have like a big bike trail and we'll haul them out of there.
Right. Because the only reason you can do these fun rides is if nobody knows that fun ride happened there. Right. I mean, kind of.
Yeah, sort of. Like, you know, I mean, it would probably gather complaints, you like, know, yeah. versus them not even knowing that we were there.
If it looked like the party that it was, because yeah. they're good parties.
Yeah. Oh, if it looked like what happened there, they'd be like, what?
Right. And so the distinction maybe of Dropout is that, yeah, you're
they
kind
didn't of, have to cut their lawn, you know, because mm-hmm. we just go and trample it all.
That's right. That's it.
The grass is all tall, you know. It's like they need to mow that. So we just went and did them, you know, job. Yeah. Just trample it with a bunch of people.
Totally. Totally. So just briefly, what's next? What's next for you? What's your next project?
Or
do you have a bike you're working on? Do you have...
I'm working on a bike for the Blazers mascot right now.
Really?
Which Ooh. Is the first time I've ever built a bike for anybody wow. that they weren't necessarily... I'll say this, like, I've helped a ton of people build their own bikes.
Uh-huh. Sure.
But usually I'll make them do almost all the welding.
Okay, yeah.
And, like, kind of just help them along the way. And usually it's, like, good enough. Like, I'll hit it, you know, with a hand. I'll, you know, throw it down and be like, hey, it's fine.
It doesn't break.
Doesn't break. But, yeah, so I'm building a bike for the Blazers just because I'm kind of a Blazers fan.
Yeah.
So I get contacted about it. So I'm going to build a tall bike for the Blazers mascot Blaze.
Nice, nice.
And so is the mascot going to ride it during a game? Or?
That's what I hear.
Does the mascot know how to ride a tall bike?
Yes, he came to the shop and rode all the tall bikes there.
Nice, nice. And he's like,
was
all right,
he in the suit
I'll take
that
this
time
one.
Too?
No, like, no. He just
nobody
up.
Knows who this person really is.
No, he just showed up. He rode a swing bike, and he had a good time.
Nice. That's cooler than I expected the Blazers mascot to be, honestly.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Well, very cool.
Yeah, so I'm doing that, and then the Freak Bike Falls coming up, which is like a weekend thing in October, and that's been going on probably like 6-7 years now.
Yeah, and how would people find out about that? Like if they wanted more info?
You can just Google Freak Bike Fall, and I think Freak Bike Fall blogspot.org or com or something like that will come up.
Yeah.
And it's basically got, you know, past years and stuff. But I don't think the current information is up on there, if I remember right. I think it's just on Facebook. But
that's coming up.
Should be able to find it.
Right.
But October 16th, it's going to be that weekend. Starts at the Dropout ride. Though I think there might be an alley cat that some other friends are going to do right before and then meet up at the Dropout ride. And then Saturday, we do like an urban freak cross race.
Yeah.
Which is super awesome.
Freak cross.
Yeah.
So a cycle cross race with freak bikes.
With freak cross. with freak bikes.
That's awesome.
This is
sweet. And I totally encourage people to ride regular bikes, but you have to give freak bikes like space and like.
Oh, yeah.
Like a tall
in
biker.
Lines, like, don't take their lines or something like that because it's like, dude, then you need to go ride that bike through that. And
don't make the wreck. Yeah.
But, it's out in outer southeast where I kind of, like, lived most of the time. I've been in Portland. And so I go through all the worst roads and all these, like, unimproved roads.
Oh, dude, this is exactly what we've been talking about. We want to do something like this.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a route, dude.
Fabulous.
It's
awesome. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. It goes through, like, huge pond sized puddles.
I was going to say, does it involve, like, Ogden or something? I don't know. There's a bunch of streets out there that are Ogden's pretty well paved. I'm thinking of other ones.
I started in
Carlton.
I started at like 205 by the bowling alley.
Okay. Yeah. By Powell.
By Powell by the McDonald's.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
And then there's that big vacant lot.
Yep.
Just find like
the old school.
So that used to be, I was going to say Marshall High School.
Yeah. Right? Which is actually in service again this year, just for a little bit, because Franklin is all torn to hell.
Oh, that's
they're like rebuilding it.
Yeah.
So,
and that ends with a awesome another event that, depending if we end on time, will be a jump into the Willamette.
Nice. Nice. And that river is totally clean enough to swim in, by the way. Just let me put that out there. People talk a lot of shit about the Willamette. The Willamette's a lot better than it used to be. Yeah. It's super clean.
You guys can jump in.
No, well, there's no poop in it anymore. It's like way cleaner. Seriously.
Though, I'm going to say Ross Island.
Yeah?
We need a free Ross Island. I heard about this early on when I moved to Portland, and I love it, is that, you know, Ross Island cement just needs to, they just need to close that area up, clean it up. If anybody's been back over there exploring over there,
uh-huh.
AKA, you know, my times doing the river flotilla thing.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And we didn't even talk about that. Yeah, we got to talk about this some other time.
But, like, seeing the ecology up the river, and then you come down and you go into that, if you go around into that lagoon, it's just all, like, ugh.
Like, the Sand and Gravel Company is not doing the best things for the river.
Yeah, well, they just need to clean, there's just parts where they just need to clean it up. It's okay. Just, like, it's just gross.
Yeah.
And there's, like, you know, retaining things back in there that, like, you know, I don't know. What is that retaining, you know? It's like...
Right.
I just think it's, like, one of those things in Portland, and if we could do, would be really awesome, because there is, like, cool nature out there and stuff like that. You know, there are deer and stuff out there. It's
this,
like,
goes back to what you were saying earlier about picking up your trash.
Yeah.
Right, right. And it, really the value is, like, don't litter.
So, yeah, don't litter.
Yeah.
It's kind of an overarching principle for life in Portland. I think we could do it. I think it seems like a thing that... would make sense.
Yeah, me and my friends were talking about, like, just like a flyer or brochure, say, I'm new to Portland.
What things you should know, yeah.
Things I should know.
Totally.
Why are these people pissed off at me? It's like, you know.
It's because you threw your salt stuff cup on the ground.
Yes.
That's why.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming in. I really appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
Events coming up, that sort of thing. Again, we have to talk about the flotilla some other time. We've got to make a show about, because that's fucking boat month right there.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
This last year we didn't do it, but the last 2 years we did a flotilla from Oregon City to Portland. And it's like 4 or 5 days.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. And we go to 3 different islands, and we basically, you know, bring bikes and have them hanging on the side. So if we stop somewhere, we can just, like,
just
jump
ride.
Off and ride to go get supplies and jump back on the boat.
Right. That's it's great. Like full on Tom Sawyer. All right. Well, thank you again. So you mentioned just searching for the events. Anything else people should look up?
Well, mini bike winter's coming up, you know, again, that's in February. That's the big, so after, Pedal Palooza started, Zubom then says, all right, we're going to do mini bike winter.
Yeah.
And then that started Chariot Wars and all.
And the Chariot Wars are fantastic.
Chariot Wars are some stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, the mini bike winter weekend is, like, that's what that's all a part of.
Excellent. Right?
So it comes up in, February, like, it's, Dead President's Day weekend.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Well, hey, you know, we should do some headlines, right?
Yeah.
But also, you know what else? We should talk about the beer mongers, because they are a fantastic place
Mother
to get a drink.
Mother of God, we did not. Well, we did mention them right off the bat.
We're talking about them right now, and that was perfect audio right there. By the way, you've got an Idaho beer there.
Yes, I'm drinking Idaho beer, which I recently went out to Idaho and hung out with the Ridge Riders out there, who are another bike club. They're really awesome.
Nice.
And they do a ride out there if anybody's going out to Idaho City or Boise.
So if you've ever wanted to ride bikes in Idaho, but you can't get there, you can still drink Idaho beer at the Beer Mongers down
Three
here at Southeast
Porter.
Division
there
and 12th. We recommend them highly. Can't say enough about them. They're the coolest. Also, 6-year anniversary is coming up. This, what?
Oh, that's right.
Is that this next week? Or is it this week? It's soon.
I didn't buy
I think it's next week.
I'm sorry. I didn't do my homework this time.
No, that's okay. Well, I know that, like, the 6th and 7th are days that are important to them. So,
yes.
You know, I'm going to look at the calendar, and so should you.
At the Beer Mongers.
TheBeerMongers.com. Yep. So anyways, thanks to the Beer Mongers for giving us beverages and for being such grateful sponsors, or gracious sponsors. We are the grateful recipients
We're
of
grateful.
Such sponsorship.
They are gracious.
Also, thanks to all of our donors who are so cool. So now, headlines.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
All right, first up, this comes from Logan Smith out in California. Are they still out there?
They are in California. Yeah, they're in Siskiyou County.
Siskiyou,
by the way,
yes.
My water bottle here, CycleSiskiyou.
CycleSiskiyou.com,
which is, if you live in Siskiyou, that's how you find out about cycling.
Is that, like, the only bike shop in Siskiyou?
I think it's an organization. They have a couple of rides.
Okay.
Logan's involved with them.
Nice.
He's also involved with our show, and he sent us some mail, which
and
is also some news from the world.
This is Google self-driving cars might be too good at braking for cyclists.
How is this possible?
Google's self-driving cars are cautious by design, but in at least one instance, it may be a bit too much. A cyclist posting on a road bike forum says that an encounter between themselves and a self-driving car ended up with neither moving more than a few inches for a good 2 minutes. We repeated, quote, we repeated this little dance for about 2 full minutes, and the car never made it past the middle of the intersection, the cyclist writes. The two guys inside were laughing and punching stuff into a laptop. I guess they were trying to modify some code to teach their to teach their car something about how to deal with the situation. The encounter is said to have occurred in Austin, where Google very recently began a new set of self-driving car tests on public roads.
Yeah. Well, they've got some learning to do yet.
Yeah.
It is yet to be determined whether self-driving cars are idiots or jerks.
I would say they're idiots.
Because they can be tough.
Jerk defines it or implies a certain maliciousness that you can't have with a computer.
Right. Whereas most drivers are more likely, if you see bad behavior, to be jerks than idiots.
In my experience.
Yeah.
Yes.
Does this stand up, Cispo?
I'm not into the self-driving car.
Okay. Yeah. It's a divisive issue because a lot of people are like, oh, this could revolutionize the way people get around. But then a lot of other people are like, hey, bikes could revolutionize
the way
people.
Yeah, I don't want to end up in the people zoo.
Right.
There you go.
In other news.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of torn. I think for mass transit, all apologies to Dan Christensen and such, but I think for mass transit, motorized transportation would be a great way to go.
Mm-hmm. Motorized buses?
Yeah.
No. Like
automated.
The ones that we have now?
Yeah.
Automated buses, yeah.
Automated motorized transit.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely for trips of like one or a few people,
mm-hmm.
fucking bike it.
Sure. Yeah. The only thing I was thinking about
think you should have a self-driving car unless you're like 70.
Right. At that point, yeah, they should take your license away from you and just let you ride
you're in a self-driving car.
In luxury.
That's cool.
With a butler. Yeah.
Because you've lived that long.
Exactly. You deserve a butler.
I like this.
Yeah. What else we got?
All right. This coming to us from Minneapolis Bike Connection, Health Connections, Active Transportation Report Summary. What's keeping people from riding? A new report highlights some reasons. And this is about a specific active transportation report in Minneapolis. But I think some of the things they touch on really parallels what I've been experiencing anyways here in Portland as well.
Minneapolis is pedal hub territory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to hear their take on this.
Totally.
Actually. They may have.
They may have. I haven't listened to them recently, so.
Sorry, guys.
I need to update my playlist.
Behavior from passerby, lack of education, and the political process all noted barriers to involvement in riding and bicycle advocacy. The Health Connections Coalition recently released a report titled Active Transportation from Our Own Perspectives and Voices. The report is based on focus groups, conversations held around the Twin Cities where community members discussed biking and related political processes needed to access bicycle amenities. Healthy Connections specifically engaged communities of color, including American Indian, Muslim African Americans, including Somali, and Hispanic Latinos. It's a huge article, and I really encourage everybody to to follow our links to it. But I'm just going to do the three main bullet points here that came out of this report. And number one is behavior of passerby. This includes overt sexual harassment, fear of sexual assault, and racialized and class remarks.
So people just harassing other people
when
they're on a bike. Like they're more open to that because they're on the bicycle instead of enclosed.
Because you're on a bike, yeah.
Okay.
I know many women on bikes who are sexually harassed from car or even from porches as they ride around
from front porches,
our fair city.
Porches should know better. Those are jerks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Sexual harassment, no excuse.
Right.
No, you're a jerk across the board.
Yeah.
I have been fortunate enough not to experience any overt racialized remarks from vehicles or porches or whatever. However, I often wonder, do I experience more harassment than maybe my white counterparts?
Good question.
Are people driving more apt to harass the dark-skinned bicyclist than the lighter-skinned bicyclist?
It's worth asking,
It's just a hanging question that I have. Number two, bullet point, lack of education. This includes bicycling education, driver education, and cultural competency education for policymakers. And I think this is exactly what you're talking about earlier in the show, is that, like, there needs to be a little pamphlet of, hey, so you've chosen to drive in Portland.
Here's what you should know.
Or just live in Portland. You are moving here. Like,
yeah.
This is...
You want to live in Portland, not in Clackamas.
Yeah.
And lastly, access to the political process. This includes creative, inclusive community engagement and easier pathways to the planning process. And this is one thing that I think Portland is doing a lot better than some cities, and at least in the recent year or so that I've been kind of following bike news. With their Vision Zero, I think it's a great first step. It is still just a first step, first step.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they held it at the Jade District's sort of community center on 82nd and Division, and not like 12th and Hawthorne.
Yeah, that's your hood.
I think is it says a lot about what the city cares about.
And, right, that's
and
good.
Where the city is putting their focus. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so I also linked the report itself and the summary.
Okay, there we go. So people can see both.
Yeah, so people can see not just this news article about the report, but they can also read the report itself and the summary that this article is talking about.
Excellent.
And so out from the world here in Portland from bikeportland.org.
Wait, there's a world?
Outside of our lovely little bubble here, what did Tim Mooney call it one time? The land of
unicorns and bunnies. I
unicorns
think
unicorns and bunnies, or
whereas I call it hipster Vegas. So
I think the truth lands somewhere in between.
right.
Anyways, from bikehipstervegas.org. Southwest 3rd Avenue is about to get downtown's only buffered bike lane. Less than a year after a handful of businesses and volunteers hectored the city into letting them test a bike lane on Southwest 3rd Avenue in Old Town, one is about to be installed properly, probably next month.
And properly, we hope.
And better be properly. Yeah. It'll be one of just three southbound bike lanes in downtown Portland and the only bike lane in downtown to include a painted buffer. In addition to the bike lanes, the city will mark new crosswalks and add a left turn box for people biking west from the Burnside Bridge and turning south onto 3rd. Just north of the corner of Burnside and 3rd, the bike lane will disappear and become a mixing zone with right-turning traffic.
Let me just put in here that I think getting north and south in this town in general is really difficult to do. Like, basically, the city is set up so you can go east and west.
Yeah.
And going north and south, there's, like, not nearly as many options.
Agree.
Yeah. I think it doesn't matter what mode of transportation you go with.
Yeah. Also, Southwest 3rd, big fucking street. Plenty of room for a buffered bike lane.
Yeah. This is just the first phase of improvements. If the community sees a need for further improvement, that can be a conversation down the road, says Timur Ender, a transportation policy advisor. We can explore that as part of a central city multimodal plan.
I like what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's, again, it's a good first step.
In
the right direction.
Hey, step up and support Bike Portland. Tell me about this.
So, Bike Portland is now 10 years old, and they are just calling. This is sort of a make or break year for them, and they're calling for donations. And I'll just do a quick little blurb here. If you think what we do here matters, if you think Portland is a better place because of our in-depth coverage of important issues, if you think Bike Portland should ride into the next 10 years with the same fresh legs and optimistic ambition we started with 10 years ago, then please consider making a financial contribution today.
Seriously, like, Bike Portland does a huge thing for people in this town and for people outside of this town who just want to be inspired by cool things.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and you know, that's at least 2/3 of my mail source or of my headline source.
So you know, the Sprocket podcast will be making a donation to Bike Portland today.
Well,
and we encourage all of
you collectively or individually, definitely.
Yeah, get out there and give them some money because they're doing good work.
I read Bike Portland too.
You do, you do. Yeah, excellent. We all do, and we should all give them some money because, like, hey,
they do good stuff.
Yeah, totally. Hey, you know what else we got?
Athletes Fit. Oh.
Hey, we got mail.
You weren't supposed to tell anybody.
Tin Actin. This mail segment brought to you by Tin Actin. From Glenn W., the next star of Deadliest Catch.
That's right. Did you just laugh at your own joke?
Yes, I did.
Good for you.
Yes, you can home can meat. Carefully, low-acid foods like meat and fish are the most dangerous to can. Has been done in a pressure canner, not the same as a pressure cooker, at 10 pounds pressure at sea level or higher for at least 90 minutes.
Glenn is always at sea level, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
Because he lives at the ocean.
Because he lives at the Salish Sea.
Yeah.
For detailed safety precautions, talk to a county or state extension food safety agent first, then have them calibrate the gauge on your canner. My wife has had this training in Jefferson County, Washington, and holds classes and calibrates the gauges here. And once a year, her master gauge is sent to the factory for recalibration.
I like that she's
lab.
The calibrator. This is good.
I like how, like, you have a thing that calibrates all these other machines, then they send that back for recalibration.
Yeah, totally.
Pretty stoked you guys have meat canning in your podcast.
Yeah, I'm
and
not
we
familiar.
Just found out about this.
So wait, so here's another question. This is just speculation that leads into more emails from people later on. But like pig's feet, for example, pickled pig's feet, is that like a canned meat? Is that a pressurized canned thing?
It's pickled, so I don't think it's pressurized.
Okay.
He doesn't necessarily talk about that. He does
right.
say, it helps to start with a tough meat. The long processing at high temperature turns anything tender into mush.
Okay.
And
so my chicken McNuggets, I should not can those.
Nope. Okay. Only the tough laid out hens were turned into canned soup. And the younger birds were frozen instead.
There we go. Also, he says he's going to retrieve crab pots that yesterday there was a gale. I don't remember when he sent this to us, but yes, he didn't want
to
pull pots in 50-knot gusts.
Yes.
Which doesn't sound like a good time.
No.
Yes, Deadliest Catch.
Deadliest Catch in the Bramble Patch, Marrowstone Island.
So that's our email.
That's our email. Next up, we got some tweets.
was that appropriate?
Sure. I don't know. That was almost a cat call. I was like half offended there. From Scott in California, you could say, oh, this is his answer to a bike school question.
Oh, yes.
And he mentioned us in that. You could say I'm a loner or that I ride with the Sprocket podcast in my ear. Just one ear when I'm on my bike.
Nice.
Hashtag bike school.
So that means that... basically, we're his two friends that sit inside of his ear canal.
Apparently so.
Yeah. Oh, good.
We might be on his ride right now.
Well, Scott, enjoy your ride.
Yeah.
Enjoy the wind in your hair and across your face. And
have fun.
That's right. Seriously. And don't let the turkeys get you down.
From Eric Iverson, clearly this guy needs to listen to the Sprocket podcast, and he links to the Huffington Post article about Portland's serial pooper.
Well, apparently, yeah.
In the Southwest.
Other places have been lucky enough to have a serial pooper, and now we also have one that brings his own toilet paper. Yeah. You said this article is filled with the most god-awful
poop
puns. Oh, my
God, it was terrible.
Seriously. But
I don't even remember them anymore.
Welcome to news, yeah.
I was going to summarize. I was going to summarize some of the article here in our notes.
Right.
And I just couldn't do it.
So can I skip ahead to physical mail?
Because
related
sure.
to that. We have right here.
Right.
This is
it's a little
aluminum cylinder, I think. This is from Accoutrement in Seattle, USA, made in China for Accoutrement.
Sent to us by Christy Kaster.
Yes, who she's one of our lovely donors, and I really appreciate this because I'm the guy who's had to make underpants out of paper towels before, and I have here Archie McPhee instant underpants. Just add water, one pair. So you can hear the sound of whatever's inside of that. Some dry puck that you can add. The instructions at the back. Open tin. Remove cellophane and cardboard wrap. Place in water. Lightly pull apart. Let dry. Wear. So They're not exactly instant. I have to let them dry.
I don't know if you necessarily have to let them dry.
I could put on wet underpants, I guess.
You could wear wet underpants.
But that's the reason I'm looking for new underpants, right?
Defeat the purpose.
Anyways, thank you, Christy. We appreciate this. I will keep this in my emergency kit because you never know when I will need new drawers. So,
yes. When I saw this piece of mail, I came to the studio yesterday. When I saw this, I was like, hey, why is this addressed to Brock and not the Sprocket Podcast?
And now you know.
And now I know. Now I'm glad it was just addressed to you.
What else we got?
From Rory C., it's not exactly sunrise. It's not exactly coffee. But it's a fine morning to ride. It's a fine morning ride to Lake Michigan.
We got a picture here of his helmet and his coffee tumbler.
Yeah. Mm.
And I would venture a guess that's
Michigan right there in the background.
Hashtag coffee outside.
Yes. I don't think he added the hashtag in.
No. But that was me.
We'll hashtag that.
Authorial insertion.
Verbally?
Yes.
Verbal hashtag.
That's right. It's the verbal equivalent of me putting two like peace signs together.
There you go.
Yeah, to make a hashtag. So, yeah.
Comments from previous episodes. From episode 253B, News Mail and Overnight Ride. From Tim Mooney in D.C., totally had the same experience with my late night riding last week. I felt really visible and safe in a super wide lane, and the traffic was so light, it felt great. Might consider doing more off-hours riding on the next tour.
Off hours, as in like after dark and until sunrise.
Yeah.
Nice.
And also commenting, Johnny K in Florida. Often when I go on my long trips between counties, it is 2 to 3 a.m. when I leave. It has a lot of benefits. For one, I'm not riding in the heat of the day for the bulk of the ride.
I love that part of it.
For another, like you, Brock, I arrive at my destination at a reasonable or expected time. Many people think this is really dangerous, but honestly, I usually feel safer, at least safer from a traffic standpoint. In my opinion, riding at night is a lot of fun.
It's a fire truck.
And speaking of safer,
yeah.
There's our wonderful safety
I'm all in.
Infrastructure yeah. at work.
Apparently, Richard appreciated our old-timey voice
yes.
from last
you
time.
You have to end the show like that from now on, he says.
I don't know if I can sustain that.
I know.
It's a big burst of energy. I do like the idea.
Well, and it just, you know, it just wouldn't be the same.
Yeah.
But, yeah. We ended our show in that episode with old-timey radio voices.
You're kind of like,
your old-timey radio voice. Brought to you by Parquet Margarine. Better on all your toast.
Are they still around even?
Parquet?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
I feel like they have other brand names that are like, Parquet is like the brand that owns other brands.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure about that. I haven't bought margarine in some time.
I thought of a funny joke. What's a flotilla on the Willamette and bikes have in common for fun?
Oh, I don't know.
Based off that last email, riding at night.
Oh.
Because during the day, it's all speedboats and all this other garbage.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh,
so like hanging out, anchoring somewhere and just hanging out and having fun during the day and then like being all like, okay, it's night. Let's just put the running light on it and just putt along because we're
nice.
Just putting.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you guys don't like, you don't use a whole lot of like motors or anything when you do it.
No.
You
just we had a solar panel last year uh-huh. and two electric trolling motors.
Nice.
Pushing a 25-foot, 14-feet-wide flotilla thing.
Again, seriously, we're going to talk about this in detail on another show very soon.
Okay.
Let's look at our calendars after this is over.
Lastly, from episode 252X, Grapes of Confederate Flag Wrath, my brother Dan clears up the import-export confusion that we had. With, he is saying, I, being me, Aaron Flores, is an island export.
You are an island export.
I guess that would make him an island import.
Well, you were an import too, and then you were exported.
But now I'm an export.
Right.
And now he's the import.
As I understand, yes.
Cleared up.
It's good to have things like that kind of figured out. Well, hey, I just realized that I need to pull up another set of show notes because we don't have our list of donors in this one.
Oh,
so.
Who put these notes together?
Yeah, seriously, I don't want to know if I ever find that guy.
All right.
So just a moment here.
Yep.
This would be like the only thing we edit on this one. I'm almost ready. Buffering.
Ooh, really?
Scrolling.
I have found that this computer works a lot better after you've shut it down for the
night. Yeah, yeah, like clear out the whatever it is.
Yeah.
The RAM, the ROM, both. Okay. Got it.
Okay.
Ready, set?
Yep. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast at gmail.com.
I'm not doing it. Call or text to 503-847-9777.
Twitter @sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Heartburn for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Johnny K., Shadowfoot,
Katrina Mellengard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Rich Witzinski, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Wise, Doug Cohen-Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Kevhart, Zoe Campagna, John Blood,
Allison Wiley, Andy Brunner, Dave Knows,
Lars V, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jacobson, JP Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick Archain, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole,
Marco Lowe, Rich Artister, Matt Alderson,
Drew the Welder, Anna, Krista Skukas,
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, and Chillian Troy.
Have a good night.
Go brush your teeth.
Go to bed.
Listening to Open Roads Broadcasting.